What you are seeing and hearing right now is nothing but a dream. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women Over 40, where we elevate our mindset and trade hangovers for higher consciousness, one powerful snippet at a time. I'm Becca Jacobson, and it is Monday, November 10th. So excited, kind of been waiting for this day, gals. It's day one of our book study of Don Miguel Ruiz's amazing little book, The Four Agreements. Have you read this? Well, if you have, you're in for a treat. We're going to go through it again together and apply it to our journey to sobriety. If you haven't, you're still in for a treat because I'm going to walk you through the key quotes, the key concepts of this book to help you in your journey to sobriety. That's what we do here in Snippetland. Every now and then, we pull out a good personal development book and we go through the key aspects of it together and implement. This is the thing, right? We read the books, but do we apply them? So the reason I do this, well, partly because I'm a former English professor, but also because I'm always harping on you about surface dwelling, about not just getting information, but actually applying it. And so I do the book studies to help you avoid the surface dwelling. So today we are doing chapter one, which is called Domestication and the Dream of the Planet. This is the first chapter. Next week, we'll do the first agreement and the following four chapters, first, second, third, and fourth agreements. But first, we do the introduction. So Don Miguel Ruiz is the author of this book, and he opens this chapter by saying, ready? I already said it, actually. What you are seeing and hearing right now is nothing but a dream. You are dreaming right now in this moment. You are dreaming with the brain awake. Oh my God, what the hell is he talking about? Well, we could get really intense on this, but there's entire schools of thought that argue we are just having a dream inside of a dream inside of a dream, and when we die, we actually wake up. But we're not going there, and that's not what Ruiz is talking about. You know what I believe he's talking about and how it applies to our sobriety? It applies to what he calls the agreements. And so I'm going to hop ahead a bit in this chapter and then come back to the dream idea. If we move forward in this chapter to page 3, Ruiz says, quote, "By using our attention, we learned a whole reality, a whole dream. We learned how to behave in society, what to believe and what not to believe, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, what is good and what is bad, what is beautiful and what is ugly, what is right and what is wrong. It was all there already, all that knowledge, all those rules and concepts about how to behave in the world. When you were in school, you sat in a little chair and put your attention on what the teacher was teaching you. When you went to church, you put your attention on what the priest or minister was telling you. It's the same dynamic with mom and dad, brothers and sisters. They were all trying to hook your attention." So he's talking here about our attention. We are socialized from birth to believe certain things, and we ultimately end up making agreements we didn't know we were making. That's where he's going with this. And that's why he gives us four brand new agreements. But first we have to understand, we, by not choosing exactly how we're going to live our lives, by not choosing our beliefs, our values, our thoughts, all of those things, by not choosing them, we are by default agreeing with the ones we were given. That's really what he's getting at, gals. Let me read bottom of page 4. He says, "It was not your choice to speak English. You didn't choose your religion or your moral values. They were already there before you were born. We never had the opportunity to choose what to believe or what not to believe. We never chose even the smallest of these agreements. We didn't even choose our own name." Ruiz wants to underscore to us that we have choices here, that we have choices. And most of us never question the agreements, in quotation marks, that we've been given since childhood. It's just the way it is. We're born into this society. By the time we're adults, we're completely socialized. And what do we do with it? We turn around and socialize our own children into the same agreements. And it never occurs to us, well, wait a minute, maybe I don't actually agree with this. Now, I shouldn't say never. Many of us will change religions. We do start thinking for ourselves. In fact, many of us will intentionally rebel against our parents. But hold on a minute. Even if you rebel against your parents and your upbringing, you still flow along with society. And there are just certain ways we do things in this society that most of us just agree with. We don't stand up and go, you know what, actually, I think that's nonsense. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to roll that way. I can think of so many examples where we really are, gals, here's the word, you're not going to like it. We really are like sheep, especially in the age of social media. We get FOMO. Am I missing out on something? Well, here's my response to FOMO. I hope I'm missing out. Thank God, please let me be missing out, because I don't want to follow the crowd. I'm not interested in what most people are out there doing. So we take these agreements and we can't be blamed. He's not beating up on us, gals. We are socialized this way from birth. But he really wants us to understand that by choosing to continue going the way we're going, we're by default agreeing, okay? And that's why he gives us four brand new agreements. He says, here's four agreements that you could try instead. At the bottom of page 5, he says, we didn't choose those beliefs and we may have rebelled against them, but we were not strong enough to win the rebellion. And the result is surrender to the beliefs with our agreement. He's saying we just eventually say, okay, this is the way it is. We don't question it and therefore we agree with it. Listen, we can agree with something by not disagreeing with it. We don't necessarily say out loud, oh, okay, I agree with this, but we go along with it. We teach it to our own children. That's an agreement. When we start thinking about it as an agreement, we can start asking ourselves, well, wait a minute, do I want to agree with this? Ruiz calls this domestication. Domestication. At the bottom of page 6, he says, children are domesticated the same way that we domesticate a cat, a dog, or any other animal. In order to teach a dog, we punish the dog and we give it rewards. We train our children whom we love so much the same way that we train any domesticated animal, with a system of punishment and reward. We are told, you're a good boy or you're a good girl, when we do what mom and dad want us to do. When we don't, we are a bad girl or a bad boy. When we go against the rules, we are punished. We went along with the rules, we got a reward. We were punished many times a day and we were rewarded many times a day. Soon we became afraid of being punished and also afraid of not receiving the reward. The reward is the attention that we got from our parents or from other people, like siblings, teachers, and friends. We soon develop a need to hook other people's attention in order to get the reward. Ruiz is telling us that we want to be noticed, nobody wants to be ignored, and we want to fit in. We want to fit in. We don't want to be punished. We want to be rewarded. One of the biggest things we can get as a reward is other people's attention. So we end up making all these agreements that no one ever told us it was an agreement. They just told us this is the way it is. So when we get to this point in our life and we can stop and go, wait a minute, I don't know if I actually agree with this, then we can start making different choices. That is really powerful. And Ruiz gives us four beautiful ways to choose a different agreement. It's kind of depressing, I know. There's a little bit more I want to share in this chapter. On page 8, Ruiz says this, all our normal tendencies are lost in the process of domestication. And when we are old enough for our mind to understand, we learn the word no. The adults say, don't do this and don't do that. We rebel and say, no. We rebel because we are defending our freedom. We want to be ourselves, but we are very little, and the adults are big and strong. After a certain time, we are afraid because we know that every time we do something wrong, we are going to be punished. We do try, gals. That's why children rebel, right? Children, we go through the whole rebellion stage, but eventually we get domesticated. And then we grow up and we domesticate our own children. Now, of course, we have to raise our children, but we don't question the agreements we make for the most part. And these are subtle. The four agreements that Ruiz is going to give us are not fluffy. They're subtle, but powerful. And I love these agreements because I see people breaking them every single day. And I see them just completely embedded in our society. And you and I get to talk about them over the next 4 Mondays. Now, moving ahead in this chapter, Ruiz points out there's the judge and the victim. Let's talk about the judge and the victim. Here's what happens after a while. See, after a while, we don't need to be domesticated. We start doing it to ourselves. Listen to this. There is something in our minds that judges everybody and everything, including the weather, the dog, the cat, everything. The inner judge uses what is in our book of law to judge everything we do and don't do, everything we think and don't think, and everything we feel and don't feel. Everything lives under the tyranny of this judge. Every time we do something that goes against the book of law, the judge says we are guilty and we need to be punished. We should be ashamed. This happens many times a day, day after day, for all the years of our lives. The judge is right inside of you, judging you, punishing you. You didn't show up right. You didn't say the right thing. You were this, you were that. Judge, 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 judge. And then there's the other part of us. Quote, page 10, by the way. There's another part of us that receives the judgment, and this part is called the victim. The victim carries the blame, the guilt, and the shame. It is the part of us that says, poor me, I'm not good enough, I'm not intelligent enough, I'm not attractive enough, I'm not worthy of love, poor me. The big judge agrees and says, yes, you are not good enough. And this is all based on a belief system that we never chose to believe. Love that quote. This is all based on a belief system that we never chose to believe. Gals, we've made a bunch of agreements that we never chose to agree to. It just happened to us. Now, we can't blame our parents because it happened to them and it happened to their parents. And dare I say, we did it to our children. That's okay. Give them this book. On page 11, Ruiz starts to turn the tide for us. After making us feel pretty damn wow, he turns the tide and here's what he says. Middle of page 11. That is why we need a great deal of courage to challenge our own beliefs. Because even if we know we didn't choose all these beliefs, it is also true that we agreed to all of them. The agreement is so strong that even if we understand the concept of it not being true, we feel the blame, the guilt, and the shame that occur if we go against these rules. So gals, even when we stop and start looking at this clearly, as Ruiz is helping us do, there's something inside of us that feels like, ooh, you're not, you know, there's the judge, there's the victim. We feel it. That's why it takes courage. Courage. And you know what? You know what else takes courage, gals? Sobriety. That's what takes courage, gals. Sobriety. And that's why I'm glad we're reading this book. Ruiz points out that we punish not only ourselves, but others when we make mistakes. It's the built-in judge. And eventually he says, we're actually living in hell. That's right. He actually says we're living in hell. Let me give you a quote on this. If we compare the dream of human society with the description of hell that religions all around the world have promulgated, we find they are exactly the same. Religion says that hell is a place of punishment, a place of fear, pain, and suffering, a place where the fire burns you. Fire is generated by emotions that come with fear. Whenever we feel the emotions of anger, jealousy, envy, or hate, we experience a fire burning within us. We are living in a dream of hell. And then, gals, what Ruiz gives us at the top of page 17, I believe, explains why we drink, why we use drugs, why we gamble, why we have eating problems, why we do scroll endlessly on social media. In other words, why we want to escape. Listen to this. To be alive is the biggest fear humans have. Death is not the biggest fear we have. Our biggest fear is taking the risk to be alive, the risk to be alive and express what we really are. Just being ourselves is the biggest fear of humans. We have learned to live our lives trying to satisfy other people's demands. We have learned to live by other people's points of view because of the fear of not being accepted and of not being good enough for someone else. Gals, we've been domesticated and we are afraid to do anything other than follow along with the crowd. And I believe that it's this fear of living that causes our deep desire to escape. Alcohol is just one way we escape. And that's why sobriety requires so much courage. We have to turn around and say, I'm going to live this life, damn it. And that is not easy, dear. Death is easier than life. I couldn't agree with Ruiz more. Dying's easy. Bam, it's over. Living's hard. Living's hard, my dear. Right? So this fear of being alive, and it's just too much for us. Like, give me my wine. Oh, my God. And then on 19, Ruiz says, nobody abuses us more than we abuse ourselves. And it is the judge, the victim, and the belief system that makes us do it. So, gals, I'm going to end this chapter. There's more. It's deep. But I think we get the point, right? I'm going to end this chapter, which ends on page 23, with an inspiration from Ruiz. He says, you need a very strong will in order to adopt the four agreements. But if you can begin to live your life with these agreements, the transformation in your life will be amazing. You will see the drama of hell disappear right before your eyes. Instead of living in a dream of hell, you will be creating a new dream, your personal dream of heaven. That's what we have to look forward to now that we've been scared out of our wits. Don't be afraid. We can do this. We can do this. Next Monday, we're going to chapter 2, the first agreement. The first agreement, be impeccable with your word. And I'm really looking forward to that. In the meantime, the sacred mirror is open. So if you want to come snuggle a little deeper into snippet land, go to the show notes, tap the link, share a bit of your story, and I'll send you back a personal voice note. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.